So a tutu on a pony.
Yep, I think it could be a good look for me.
I would not do the tutu unless the fee is substantial. But also, you are our official tweetster, and the official tweetster has been, you know, busily at work as we prepare to actually welcome somebody who is just so wonderful in every sense of the word. Well, we simply had to actually ensure that this was actually produced.
And now, star of stage and screen, a lover of mystery, and an international citizen of the world, this is Lily Holloman.
See? Some people have to wait years for their first official fill-in.
Wow, I didn't know anything about that.
Well, there you go. You know, that's the magic of the media. Lily, how are you?
How are you?
Yes, doing great stuff in all sorts of ways, and delighted to welcome you back on board the Madrid Drive. Funnily enough, I didn't think it was a kind of conspiracy theory, because last week, Hannah and myself and the team were beginning to start a Bring Lily Holloman Back campaign. But of course, just as we were sort of beginning to launch that, clearly we had to evacuate the entire studio and just go from that sort of point of view. I thought, interesting. But, you know, it's all scheduled to work through that.
No, I was born and raised in Washington, D.C. Bomb threats are kind of a dime a dozen.
Well, exactly. Lily Holloman will be speaking on behalf of the Washington Tourist Board once again with more positive things as the show proceeds. So there we are. You want a diamond? Let's go to us from this point of view. Where the Great Ones Run. I thought finally they've recognised it's a play based for Phil Learness. You know, running away. Or was it actually Dean Haglund, given that he's taken up marathon running these days? Very confusing.
Oh.
Yeah. A country star returns to his hometown because he's been given 3 months to live due to cancer. Will those he deserted in his climb to fame receive him? And I got to say, you know, I know that Phil has this thing about sort of critics, you know, you got a list of critics, but I thought the Los Angeles Theatre Review, please, I do this now. That's what I do to Los Angeles critics. I say, just go away, I do that. And once again, that's us ripping up the Los Angeles Theatre Review thing.
Well,
because I thought,
you know,
please.
When you get a play or anything reviewed, it's really making a deal with the devil in a lot
exactly.
of ways. Because, you know, it's so dependent on where people come from and their prejudices they bring in and their taste. And
well, I've got to actually raise this point, because I've said it for the last 20 or 30 years, before you were born, actually, Lily, that the challenge with respect to critics, and it's the same with respect to movies or indeed plays or anything from that point of view, is so much actually depends on the mood that the critic happens to be in when they actually go to see you. If they've had a lousy day, it's going to take one heck of a scenario to work your way through that whole thing. And sometimes you just have to. But at least the psych got lots of mentions. You know, the scenery, which was wonderful, so that was good for that. And actually, to be fair, it was good to see that variety. I think they were sort of slightly more positive about the whole system from that perspective, really. I'll just read you a little excerpt from this. But Spectators' reaction to Where the Great Ones Run by Mark Roberts of TV's Mike and Molly will hinge on how high or low they set their expectations. What does that mean?
I mean,
you're going to go as a critic and say, I've got really low expectations about these things. I don't expect to be entertained at all, basically. And then this tiny, brackets 80 minutes, condescension-free peek into the lives of Midwestern dreamers is pleasant but weightless. I'm sorry, but anybody who uses a polysyllabic term, condescension, should be expelled from the road of variety theatre criticism straight away from that point of view.
I agree. But, you know, to be fair, we have gotten up to literally 50-50 on Bitter Lemon, so we're half and half.
Mm.
That is the ultimate definition of split reviews.
Exactly, it's true. Yeah. And I also, Where the Great Ones Run, brackets, theatre, T-H-E-A-T-R-E, brackets, theatre, American spelling, T-H-E-A-T-E-R, Los Angeles, 99 seats, $30 top. Over
we're
to you, sir.
Covering the gamut.
But,
you know, despite these reviews, I have to tell you that this has been a life-changing play for me.
Good.
In many, many ways.
Well, you know how successful and how fun. I mean, Hannah is still eulogising, and I use that polysyllabic term quite deliberately, eulogising over your role in Arch Your Friends.
I still think that's an amazing film.
Exactly.
Oh, well, thank you. That means a lot coming from the rookie of the year.
There
you go. So progressing on from that whole perspective, I mean, this one, I would have thought it's actually quite a challenging role to actually get into, because, I mean, just define your character of Julie Burl, Lily.
Well, my character is a... she's been born and raised in a very small town in Indiana. Her dad left when she was very young to be a country music star and has been not at all involved in her life. And she's a lesbian, which is extremely difficult in a small town in the Midwest. And her mom doesn't support her in this. And then, you know, Sunny Burl comes back to town, and she's pissed off, rightfully so. And so some of the critics have actually been very critical of my character's behavior, because I behave in slightly unlikable ways. But really, I mean, wouldn't you be royally...
Annoyed, I think we'll say.
this
time of the day, yeah.
20 years of being MIA, and your mom isn't supporting you and in your independence. And, from a personal standpoint, not to give away the end of the play, but he does end up dying at the very end of the play. And I, when I was 19 years old, my father died very suddenly. And so this scene where my character finds out that her dad is gone suddenly was putting me through kind of post-traumatic stress disorder. And so the rehearsal process was extremely intense and really putting me into this place of grief that I hadn't gotten to experience because I was so young. I was 19 when he died. And it's been a major gift because I was forced into this very dark place for a long time and finally have kind of come out on the other side of it and feel amazing.
So it's really interesting, Lily, because the classic line you've defines the binary opposition that occurs in, I suppose, the heart of acting. You've either got the notion of, as you did there, clearly the method school, really becoming the character, empathizing, almost using it as a cathartic therapy scenario, and then perhaps the Brechtianist approach, which actually said, no, you just need to actually select a few characters and actually just work on those and distance yourself from the object, etc. And I suspect from your description there, you felt very much you wanted to get under the skin of the character of Julie Burl and actually, you know, through that actually lead yourself to that connection of being able to, not just for yourself, but presumably again for the audience as well, because, you know, loss of parents, loss of any sort of individual that we're close to can be difficult to deal with and, you know, sorted through in all sorts of ways. And we can all address ways of how we're going to cope, but it's still a case of, well, how do you actually? And isn't that at the heart, surely, of all good theatre, all good art, all good books, really, that you can identify with the whole thing? Sorry, I'm waxing lyrical here. Hannah.
Absolutely.
I hope so. She's the rookie of the year, of course. Even if I need to find out what you've thought of the show so far. And can we get you in a tutu on one of those stunt ponies? It's just a thought, Lily, but there we are.
Yes. A follow-up on what you had said, however. It's really not an either-or situation for me. For me, it's I always go into a project asking, what can I learn from this character and from this story, and what can this character teach me? And so, you know, it was inevitable that I would go through this trauma that I have already experienced in my life as a way of connecting. And then once I got through that, once I could wipe all that away, then I could be with the character and have that already and then learn from this character's passion about standing up for who she is and learning from her deep woundings and connecting on that level.
Of course, the thing is, if people want to actually get into their jet plane and fly over to Los Angeles now, you're on stage this very evening.
I'm on stage Friday, Saturday nights, and Sunday afternoon.
I just want to clarify that because I wasn't sure whether you're actually on the Wednesday, so it's not this evening, but it is running from that point of view. And are tickets still available?
Tickets are very much available through July 15th.
That's okay then. So, you know,
there's still a chance for us, Alex.
Still a time, exactly.
We can still go and do an on-location reporting
Well, I figured if we checked out Gary Conway's wine-making base, first of all, with Captain Steve Burton from Land of the Giants, well beforehand.
Yeah, we need to do that.
Exactly.
I had never heard of Land of the Giants. Thank you for educating me about that.
Well,
it's brilliant. I'm watching it at the moment.
It looks quite intriguing. Very Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yes, but a sort of futuristic version. And when you actually find Alexander Fitzhugh, played by the late Kurt Kasnar there, it's just quite surreal in so many ways. It's the way the thing switches from sort of hyper-intensive acting through to you cannot be serious brand of acting. It's just wonderful. Anyway, Hannah, over to yourself.
I was going to ask, Lily, do you think that the whole cast, like, together have gone through kind of an emotional experience, like enlightenment almost, doing this play?
I think absolutely. Yeah, everybody has had their own journey, and also one of the sad truths of getting reviewed is that usually reviewers come at the opening, you know, when the play is still in its infancy stages. And another challenge that we had right before opening, we got a vast amount of changes in who our characters were and how we were to portray them. And so incorporating that in with the work we had already done was quite daunting in front of audiences. And I think at this point it's really melded quite well for everyone, and I can see everybody going deeper and deeper.
And it's nice to know that Tucker Smallwood is still doing wondrous stuff. Is he the character actor, or is he the actor who comes out with the line, supercharged turbo funny cars?
Yes, and that's my cue to enter.
He's very important.
As a matter of fact.
That's a routine
that's
for
me.
Well, I've always said in many ways, Lily, even with just one transatlantic link under your belt so far, that the notion of supercharged turbo funny cars is indeed your strapline. It's crucial from that point of view.
And we will take one up to that vineyard.
Nice.
For the guys
so,
the
hopefully we've provided a modicum of entertainment for your good self, although I gather, Hannah, you received a tweet from Phil to say that he was asked to leave the house because he was playing Crazy Horses through the loudspeaker.
I'm not sure when this was. I think this was...
when he was a child.
As a child, yes. Not recently.
Oh, well, you never know, really. Exactly. That's what we feel is that we're a kind of transatlantic version of the old Dr. Ruth without the sort of, you know, without the sort of necessary, the Dr. Ruth scenarios. You're probably too young to remember Dr. Ruth, but never mind. She was this sort of German sort of person who commented on people's relationships. Tell me about your childhood. Have you found the show? It's time for Lily Hyman to step into those Leonis boots and actually sort of reflect on how you find the show. What have the highlights been? What have the more challenging bits been? What have you enjoyed? Share with us, Lily. It's your show.
The highlight for me was the story about Elvis Presley, I have to say. Because I've been to Graceland twice, and I am quite an Elvis fan. And if you've only been to Graceland once, you must return to see the Christmas decorations. That's why you go twice.
Wow, there you go. It's a secret.
Yeah, and I have to say, they don't let you tour the second floor of Graceland. And so it's quite possible that the reason Celeste can't speak of Elvis Presley in the past tense is because he is still living on level 2 of Graceland.
Already the plug for Truth is Out There 4, Ancient Mysteries of the Rock World, is being sorted through. See where she's coming from on this basis. Curiously enough, I thought I was actually following Phil Leonis on Twitter. Maybe I'm not. I'm just actually looking at Hannah O'Brien's updates here. That's always nice from that point of view. So Elvis was up there. Where did you feel the audio restoration of Matt Munro sat in the light of the show today?
Oh, I found that very fascinating. I loved it. And I especially really liked the fact that he found this obscure album called Hillbilly Favorites. Because I'm a big fan of these kind of strange compilation records. I love going to record stores and finding these. You can find the most amazing songs that you would never find online.
In fact, Hillbilly Favorites is, I think, something we should actually look to when we put together Chilpack Hollywood, the musical, which I think hopefully Dean and our fellow sort of just mooting about that whole side of things. But, I mean, after actually the world has been presented with...
And now, star of stage and screen, a lover of mystery, and an international citizen of the world, this is Lily Holloman.
Maracas. That's what they needed.
That was totally done in secret. I didn't know anything about it.
Well, there you are.
So that's my first birthday present, because my birthday is next week.
It's just Lily Holloman's birthday is on the same day as we have day one of the 2012 Lincolnshire show. It's marvellous. Yeah. It's
just, yeah. Oh, that's brilliant.
We will have to actually have some sort of celebratory routine.
Yes, we will, won't we?
So I'm sure Phil will be on the case and we'll sort our way through that whole process. I have just retweeted the fact that you said you'll miss Phil Leonis on the show. It's all right. He will be back. You know,
yes.
His voice, that sort of through. And Phil, I'm sorry, but Rookie of the Year. Exactly. I mean, in the event of something untoward happening to Hannah, then obviously the duties of Rookie of the Year will actually fall under the Linus Meister to actually fulfil those roles. So dry those tears, Phil. You know, all's well with the world. Besides, I don't think you'd really suit the tutu. But there we are. It's a different line entirely.
But I mean, you got to wear the tutu, Hannah. That's sort of part of winning.
Yeah.
Your victory march.
Of course.
Tutu on a horse.
Yeah. You see, this is one of the reasons why sometimes Americans say the only thing they get out of British culture is Monty Python. But never mind. It's a difficult challenge from that perspective. Looking ahead to tomorrow, of course, we have Jenny Finch, author extraordinaire, joining us. We also have the aforementioned links with the director of communications for the CLA Game Fair, which, in case you're wondering, is the Countryside Landowners Alliance. It's a sort of big event here that we'll be sort of following, and Ollie will be joining us from that point of view. We've also got the return of Richard Fitzwilliams. So I don't know, Hannah, in terms of the scenario, but Richard will be on 20 past the hour of midnight. That's 20 minutes into Thursday for yourself, if you sort of feel, I fancy the midweek drive morning edition. You know, it's always there. Okay, do you sort of feel that? I don't know. I mean, sometimes people do tune in. Fiona Harding, of course, made a thing of being, you know, midnight in LA. That was her sort of thing, or thang, shall we say, from that point of view. We've also got the return of Ian Lennox, and we've got a new comedian. We forgot to give a little shout out to a couple of folk who claimed that I'd forgotten all about them as well, who are father and daughter, Paul Hart and Natasha Hart. So I've just done that, you know, just as I thought that we're getting up to 8.5 minutes before show end, before news. He's forgotten us again, claims there was a scare last week. What does he think he is, Washington, D.C.? No, it's Lincoln, England. It's important. So there we are, it's a little shout out from that. I think we're going to be joined tomorrow by another Welsh comedian, who, as I said, I'm not quite sure how to actually take his line of thing, etc., because he's a comedian, writer, etc., but he'll be joining us again in the early part of the morning. Plus, William Sitwell will be back with the continuing tale of A History of Food in 100 Recipes, and we've got Alan Stevens. How am I going to fit that into 7,200 seconds tomorrow morning? Tomorrow morning for us, tomorrow morning in Los Angeles, but separated by 8 hours. You know, for insomniacs in LA. That's the sort of factor from that point of view. Hannah, any other questions you'd like to put to Lily about life, the universe, you know, coping with, you know, the slings and joys of outrageous fortune, and we are such stuff as dreams are made of, and our little life is rounded with a sleep?
Lily, do you have anything lined up after you finished Where the Great Ones
Run? Just go, go, go. Sorry, Lily, your question.
Well, I will tell you, actually, this past weekend I shot a commercial for Samsung Telephones.
Oh.
So you might see that. I don't know if it's going to be international or not. But and then next month at some point we will be bringing back this live show that I'm in, called All About Walken, which is 7 Christopher Walken impersonators.
Now, this is something that obviously we ummed and ahed about last time, and Phil said he didn't ask you to do the Christopher Walken impersonation. So, for those people who remember Deer Hunter, and of course my own personal favourite, View to a Kill, which of course was Roger Moore's classic.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Now we're cooking with gas, no matter what Richard Fitzwilliams might say about Roger Moore as Bond. Where would you like to go for a kind of Christopher Walken sort of line, etc.?
Have you I mean, are you familiar with the Saturday Night Live sketch, or would you prefer Annie Hall?
Hannah, make a production decision. I mean, it's just a wealth of choice, really. It's amazing.
Should we go with the Saturday Night Live?
Let's do Saturday
sketch?
Night Live!
Okay. I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
That's, you know, that's. I mean, talk about your chills that come through on that basis. It's just amazing. If you've been listening to us, congratulations. You've got extremely good taste. Don't forget studio@sirenonline.co.uk, or you can simply go to sirenonline.co.uk and access all manner of marvellous things. We thank Celeste Yarnell. We thank. Who else do we thank, Hannah?
Lily Holloman.
Of course.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah. Cameron Tilbury, yes. Richard Moore, Michelle Monroe,
yes.
Joe Abercrombie,
yes.
And Rebecca Townsend.
Yes, we thank you all, and you, dear listener, for simply being a wonderful person. We leave you with Ralph Waldo Emerson's quote, "Every great man is unique." I think it's every great woman, actually, but there we are. That's Ralph Waldo Emerson in all sorts of ways. Those last two questions for Lily Holloman, please, Hannah O'Brien.
Lily, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
More than reasonably fascinating. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. And can we look forward to hearing from you again in the near future?
Yes, please, if Phil Lernis will let me.
Yeah, you see, we're going to have to address this, clearly. You know?
Yes,
I mean, let's face it, in terms of great Hollywood couples we've come to know and appreciate, obviously you've got Jean Bruce Scott and, of course, Randy Reinholtz. You've clearly got Annette Andre and Arthur Weingarten, who's on the show next week, of course.
Yes.
And,
of course,
as we heard, Nazim and Celeste. So I think, you know, that's just the start, you know.
For, yeah,
so, I
mean, you're going to have to appear on the show next week for your birthday, Lily, really.
Well,
it is next Tuesday, so this was his theory, was that it was the show before my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So this qualifies as my birthday show.
Well, as Rebecca Poole might say, what happened to romance? Hannah, have you enjoyed the show?
Yes, of course I have.
Back tomorrow morning?
Yes, I will be.
We'll give you a shout out, Lily, and Phil as well. Congratulations.
And happy birthday for Tuesday, Lily.
Thank you so much. Congratulations, Rookie of the Year.